I was just trying to put the picture together here. All right. Whew, took a lot of time. All right, so let's see. So what do you guys say? So again, this is the way did you look at the you saw the Ramban on Nolad yesterday?
In Shabbos?
Right? So what was the Gemara over there in Shabbos? The Gemara over there in Shabbos is saying, according to the Rashi's Girsa, which it's not all the Gaonim have, they don't all have that Girsa. But according to Rashi's Girsa, on Kuf Chaf Aleph, on the Beis, the Mayanos and the Naharos are not an Indian of Nolad because there are Chayu Bekach. Right? So Chayu Bekach. So the Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ran, everybody all ask the question of why. So then, why is the Beitza? Well, not the Ran, but why is the Beitza on Muktza? It's also Orchayu Bekach, right? And the Balamor takes the position that therefore the Beitza that's a Medz Lachila is not Muktza. It's not a Nolad. Because it's Orchayu Bekach. Okay. So, even though the mother is. So, yeah. But the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ritva, that group of Rishonim disagree with the Balamor. Right? And they say, Orchayu Bekach is very nice, but what's the problem with the Beitza in our Gemara? What's the problem with the Tarnagolas and the Beitza when the Tarnagolas is a Medes L'Gadol Beitzim? It's Muktza because of the mother. Why? Because they say the egg is Agde. It's tied into the mother. And when Yontif started, it was part of the egg. It was part of the chicken. The milk was part of the goat when Yontif started. Right? When it started, the egg is part of the chicken. And therefore, the shame muktza is chal on that egg. Because it's chal on the whole chicken. Right? And therefore, he holds that once it's chal on the egg, once it's chal on the chicken and the egg is part of it, the leida is not going to be matir. Right, that's the way he learns. The Leida is not going to be a matir, correct? The Leida is not going to be matir, because he says if you don't say that, then you're undoing all of muktzah. Right, but then did you go further than that, Ramban? He raises two more questions. Right, he has two more questions. He says, but what about the bones from the meat, and what about the shells from the food? The Gemara says you can't use the bones for your animals, and you can't use the shells for your animals, right? He says even though what? And oh, I'm sorry. No. Better case. And the ashes from the fire, right? The ashes from the fire, correct? He says why can't you use the ashes from the fire? The guy definitely knows that the fire is going to... the guy has the Eitzim designated for cooking. It's Yontif. So he has the Eitzim, they're already Muchan, to make a fire out of. And the ashes are Orchayu Bekach. I mean, there's nothing that's greater Orchayu Bekach than that. That is actually part of using the wood, is it's going to produce ashes. Right? So his problem is, why don't you say that the ashes should be muchan because the wood is muchan and there's no, and it's Orchayu Bekach, right? Right? Okay, so listen carefully over here. So what do you see from the whole question? What do you see from the whole derech of the Ramban? The whole derech of the Ramban. And what's his answer? His answer is that you're making a mistake. We're not saying in the Gemara that you can have a generalized achon. And that was his question. He thought there's an idea of being mechan an object, and memela, everything that comes from the object is also muchan. But his answer is no. Each entity needs its own achana. There's achana on the etzim, and there's a chana on the afer. But since it's essentially for wood, the person's das is essentially on the cheftza in terms of its wood. He's not having in mind the afer. But by the kid, that's the only product that is useful, is the tzoa. So you're saying when there's a primary use and a secondary use, so we'll say the hachana is on the primary use. But if there's only a secondary thing like tzoa, then it's okay to say that the das is on the tzoa. Okay? But what do you see from his whole mahalich over here? That what happened to Nolad? Right? What happened to Nolad? So you see that he never learns Nolad like the Ran. What would the Ran say? If you'd ask the Ran, why can't I use the ashes? He'd say, well, the ashes didn't exist. Right? The Ramban is not concerned with that problem. That's never even an issue. Right? That was something that was sort of bothering us when we were going through the shitas over here. But I think it comes out that there are two opinions about the problem of what really the problem of Nolad is. According to the Ramban, what's the problem of Nolad? What's the problem of Nolad?
What types of things does the Ramban concern
Nolad? Nolad would be like the ashes or the bones. There's no achana. But why is there no achana? Because you weren't thinking about it. Now, as according to the Ramban, the way the Ramban and the Rashi and the Ritva, the way they're learning is that there's nothing really intrinsically problematic with a nolad. It's just like a surprising thing. It's just something that you didn't have in mind. It wasn't in your head. You weren't contemplating it. Right? So since you weren't contemplating it, you can't say that it was part of the hachana. You can't say that I was making it if it wasn't on my mind. Right? So that's how they learn, or chayu bekach. Or chayu bekach means it's always on your mind. It is on your mind. Right?
So something that you still hold as something which is not, or chayu bekach, if it's just totally like a surprise thing, then that one.
Right. But only because, practically speaking, you can't say that you had this as in mind as part of your kalim or part of your tashmisha shabbos or yontif. In other words, let me put it this way: there's nothing qualitatively different about nolad. There's nothing about nolad that's like a new category in terms of muktzah. Muktzah is they're all the same. In order to be usable, it has to have been something that you prepared ahead of time. Preparing ahead of time means, in some sense, it's on your mind. The only issue with a nolad would be, you would say, well, if it's a nolad, then you weren't expecting it. You weren't expecting it. You understand? So that's why he has no problem with saying that the ashes from wood should be muchan. Because as long as you're anticipating it, and the substance that it's coming from is here, is part of what's... All you need is two things. It has to be something you're anticipating, and what it's coming from is usable to you. You understand? That's the only two requirements that he has. There's no idea that because it didn't exist in this form, it's intrinsically removed from any ability to be muchan. You understand? He doesn't have that concept. And to him, there's no problem with the egg intrinsically. The egg is really not a problem. The milk is not a problem. Why? I don't care the milk didn't exist yesterday. It's not a problem. As long as I have in mind that the milk is coming, so I have milk in my as a dover hamuchan l'gabi Shabbos. You have to define the categories of what is usable for you in Shabbos. You don't have to actually have a cheftza and say, stamp it with a shame of muchan. You understand? So why is, who's paying attention? So why is the egg muktzah and why is the milk muktzah? Because of the mother. Separate difference, separate din. It's a totally extraneous din. It's a separate din. That you can't say the nolad is muchan if the aim is a muktzah. That's a separate din. Once, why? Because once the iser muktzah is chal on the chicken or on the eis, it's chal legamri. It's chal completely on all of it, every part of it. And memela, if the eis and the tarnagoles are iser legabi shavis, things that come from them are also nitfas in the iser of the eis and the tarnagoles. Right? It's a separate din. Like a separate din. And it's a separate din that it just can't escape. The product of Isser is also Isser. That's the way he's learning. Right? That's the way he's learning. What's the problem that he remains with? So how come an egg of a chicken that is for achila mutter on Shabbos, and the egg for a chicken that's legadol beitzim is aser on yontif? Why? What's the difference? This is the big problem. So that is mechalek between different types of muktza. In other words, the Ramban is very clear, cut and dry. You don't need to ahead of time stamp approved fiyantif on any object. You just have to be koveya, bidas, what the usable things are. Okay? And as long as the objects that emerge are not stamped with the opposite shame, a shame of Isser, from their source, it's not going to be a problem on Yom Tov Shabbos. Correct? It's not going to be a problem for Yom Tov Shabbos. But the chicken, he's saying, is asur because it's muktzah. So the egg memela will be asur because it's muktzah. Not because of a nolad problem. You understand? It's not a nolad problem. It's simply because it's caught in the isser of the aim. It's a real agav ime. It's nigreris acharel. Beitzim and bidas are wonderful. You're expecting them, you use them all the time. But such is muktzah, that once it takes a chefza and creates an iser in it, the iser is going to be permanent and fixed. And anything that comes from it is also muktzah. But then he's left with a big problem. So why is it? And that's what the Gemara is saying in Beitza, Beza Man Aleph, that if you hold that the Tarnagolas is legato Beitzim, won't help you if the, it doesn't make a difference if the eggs are for Achila or not for Achila. If there's an Isser in the aim, there's an Isser in the egg, right? But then the problem is, so what about the Gemara that says on a Shabbos you could have eaten the egg if it wasn't for the gzeira of Hachana de Rabba, right? Or the Gemaras that imply that you could drink the milk of a goat on a Shabbos. Aye, the goat and the tarnagolas are aser machmas iser, right? Right? So there he says you have to differentiate between how muktza operate, different types of muktza. You have to differentiate between the type of muktza. A muktza of Beis Amad Aleph is permanent and fixed and is not subject to any alterations. But, this is his chiddush, but a muktza machmas iser is different. A muktza machmas iser is different. So let's explore that. Let's explore his sheet over there, muktza machmas iser. Sorry if I'm going, if I'm not taking up in the order that you were expecting. But you did this already. So what's the sheet of Muktzah Machmas Isser? Go ahead. Someone explain to me the Ramban's sheet of Muktzah Machmas Isser. It's not so simple. You've got to get all the right details. B-Mac, what do you got? First of all, what type of a Machmas Isser are we talking about? Are we talking about any Muktzah Machmas Isser? Think near. Me'atzmo. It's only a mukta machmas iser that bo me'atzmo. Right, like the balei chayim. The iser is memela because it's alive and it would require a shechita to use. Memela, it's going to have the shame iser upon it, right? As opposed to, he says, if I take a nair and I'm koveh it, so then I'm imposing the iser here. So he says, if it's me'atzmo and the iser falls off, then it's mutter, right? So the egg is not, it's not a din. So why is the egg mutter when it's laid? Why is the milk mutter when it's milked? Why?
Because it's not natural, it's from something else, and there's no
sugar. Right. Not because it's separated from the mother. That's not the reason. This is very critical. This is critical, right? In your mind, you have to see the chilek over here. It's not because it's a separate entity from the mother, and the muktzah of the mother does not apply to it. Right? All the muktzah of the mother apply to the egg. But the muktzah of the mother is only a muktzah under the state of iser. And the egg is like a part of the mother that's not under the state of iser. If the mother were the egg, the mother would also be mutter. It's not because there are different rules by the egg and the mother. All the dinim of muktzah are the same. Lagabi the egg and lagabi the tarnagolas. But what is the din of the muktzah? The din of the muktzah is, while it is b'isuro, it's off limits. While it is b'isuro, you cannot be metaltal it. So the egg is like a hechi timtza of the aim that's not b'isuro. Maybe if the aim was shechted, b'shkaga, something like that. You know what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? You hear what the Ramban is saying?
I thought you shechted the chicken.
Bishkaga. What did he have? Didn't he say that case? What did he have in that case? Did he hold it was mut? I don't remember. Oh, if he shechted the chicken, not bishkaga, then he himself says the egg is also. It is. Because in the aim, it's part of the aim, right? And in the aim, you couldn't get it without the shechita. So in the aim, it's muktzah. Bishogeg, even the aim is good. I don't understand the question. I thought you said not bishogeg.
I said not bishogeg because now the egg is not the aim anymore. Now I'm holding it in my hand.
No. Then you're going to say, but when you shechted it, it was be'aim. And that's a separate thing. You know, if it was muktzah and you were over an isser to get it, then it stays. That's what he says. Because you were over the issur to get it. In that state, you needed to be over the issur to get it. But theoretically, what is he doing? Theoretically, what is he doing over here? I mean, in terms of theory, what is he doing? Right? In the realm of theory, what is he doing? He's laying out two mine mukta with a different operation. So can we understand the difference between the muktzahs now? Why is it that one muktzah works this way? Why don't you say the same thing by the tarnagolas that's on medes legal lebeitzim? So the tarnagolas is not la'achila, but the egg is. So when the egg comes out, it'll be like an egg, it'll be like a tarnagolas on medes la'achila now. Why is it that the omedes la'achila, two questions remain. Why is it the omedes la'achila is not subject to this change? Like Isser is. And why is it when you make the Isser, it's not subject to change? Right? Let me hear his Lashon. Right, the Chiyuv Yadayim is the classic Muktzah case. Well, not the classic Muktzah case. What's the classic Muktzah case? Great, Gergus and Smukim, good. This is 102. This is Muktzah 102. It is the Moser Shemen Shebenir. Leftover oil in the lamp. So we say that since it was aser to use while it was burning, it's muktzah. And even though the candle goes out, there's no more iser, it stays muktzah. And the Ramban agrees that that's muktzah, even though it's only machmas iser. So he's got to work it out. Why is this machmas iser different than that machmas iser? Right? So he differentiates Machmas Isser from other muksas in general, and then within Machmas Isser, he makes a distinction. What, like, look, I'll give you an example. What is the Gemara? Anybody here know anything about Hataras Nedarim? So there's a question, can you use, if you want to do Hataras Nedarim, so you need to find the Pesach, right? That's one of the ways, right? So what's a Pesach? What's a Pesach?
Didn't anticipate something when you made the neder.
Correct. Something that you didn't think about when you made the neder. So you say, if I would have realized this, I would not have made this neder, right? But we say you can't make a Pesach from a nolad case, from something that is totally bizarre, something that you would never have anticipated. Does that sound counterintuitive?
Somewhat.
Somewhat, good. So what's the answer? Because a Pesach means I made a mistake. Mistake means it was something I should have thought about but didn't. But if it's something out of left field that I never would have thought about, I didn't make a mistake. I just made a bad, it just turned out l'mafrei, it was bad. But you can't call it a mistake, right? So that's how the Ramban is looking at Nolad, like something that's not anticipated. So how can you say that part of my Shabbos day is something that I could never even have anticipated? How can you say that ahead of time that's part of my Shabbos plan, right? But the egg is perfect, right? That's all Nolad means to him. Nolad means that it's something that's so far out there, it could not have been part of my anticipated plan. And anything that's part of what I anticipate is not muktzah. Anything that's not what I anticipate is muktzah. It has nothing to do with taking an object and stamping it, Shabbos dick. Right? Or at least here, at least in these cases, we'll see, Nola gets a little more complicated, at least in these cases, where the substance is basically, we'll see. Let's leave it like that right now. So therefore, there's no reason on earth to say that the egg should be muktzah. So why is it muktzah, Meir? Because of the mother. Exactly. There's no unified theory of nolad there's no theory of nolad that's responsible for the egg being muktzah. It's not a theory of nolad that's responsible for the egg being muktzah. It's muktzah that's responsible for the egg being muktzah. Nolad is just why it's not something. Nolad would just mean a reason why I would not have anticipated it. But you can't say that by this case. So therefore, he has to say the reason why the egg is muktzah is simply because of the aim. Okay? So it's only because of the aim. It's only because of the aim. But in terms of Nola, it's not a problem. It'd be good if they did. But anyway, so then that's what the Ramban is saying. So then really, the problem though that he's left with is what? Is what? So why does the Gemara say that when the mother is muktzah machmas iser, the egg is not? That's the problem, right? That's the problem he's left with, right? So that's where he comes up with his answer to differentiate between muktzah machmas iser has an effect on the tiny goldas, but what? Does not have an effect, but the one of Legala Beitzim does, right? I know we're repeating ourselves, but it's good to drill it in this way. So anyway, so Jeremy's about to read us the Ramban Shita. Go ahead. What the Ramban has found, where are you reading it, Jeremy? In Hachavas and Shabbos?
Yeah.
Perak Hachavas and Shabbos in the Ran. I guess it looks like a Muktzah. Right. The bottom line, he says, it's kevin shen stalik is it's like a muksa. As long as what? As long as it was only an isser me'atzmo, and not like a ner that you were dochir b'yadayim. Okay. So now we're up to the questions. Questions again. So why is it only machmas isser as opposed to legadol beitzim, and why is it only an isser that's me'atzmo? And when I'm asking why, of course I don't really mean. What is the definition of the muksa machmas isser that it has this outcome, as opposed to the definition of the other muksa that it has a different outcome, right? Go ahead. So what do you say? Right. In other words, you know, we're still in the preliminary stages of here, so it's good to be a little broader with the definitions, but. Broadly speaking, we can say that what? The Ramban is saying there are two types of muktzah. There's one muktzah that's in the Shem HaDavar itself, right? That I take the Cheftzah and I'm maktzah, and the object as the object has a Shem muktzah itself. So that's either because I purposely am dochet biyadayim, I designated biyadayim away from Shabbos. It might be through Isser, but Lamaisa, I'm defining it. I'm defining it as an entity of as an entity that's not Shaykh to Shabbos, or in terms of the nature of the its very identity. It's legadol beitzim. It's not roy for yontif. So that's the type of muksa that goes down to the guf hadavar. It's like a shame in the thing itself. But he said, and that type of muktza is permanent. You wouldn't say if the guy changes his mind in the middle of Yontif and he wants to eat the chicken, that he can. Because once it was kavua with the shame, that shame is permanent. But he says, muktza machmas isser me'atzmo doesn't involve any kviyas shame at all. That's a different kind of a muktza. That's a muktza in terms that it's only muktza because memela you can't be mishtamish with it in a certain way. It's a condition. It's a muktzah in terms of, it's a muktzah that's totally on a condition. It never redefines the cheftzah as isser, as a cheftzah that is just kavua in a certain framework. That he holds is just conditional. He holds there's two forms of muktzah. There's a muktzah in terms of the cheftzah itself, the shem adavar itself, and then there's a muktzah because if it's not usable, then from the Isser and the Tashmish is a muksa in terms of that stems from function. But he holds in terms of the Shem HaDavar, it only has one shame. And whatever the shame is when Yantav starts or Shabbos starts, that's the kvius of its shame. But in terms of the muksa of Isser, That's a practical impediment, and if it has a certain tashmish, if it's lacking a certain tashmish when Yantar starts, and Shabbos starts, and the tashmish comes to be later, so then we say since the Shem HaDavar was not huktza, it was only a muktza because of a particular inability to access it. If I can use it now, that muktza falls off. But again, I mean, we have to be mayan into it more deeply. But Lamaisa, it's coming out that he's holding. You can differentiate between types of muktzah. You can differentiate that not all muktzah operates the same way. That's the key element over here. Not all muktzah, according to Ramban, operates the same way. There's a muktzah that has to do with the kvius and a definition of the cheftzah. That's either when the cheftzah itself has a shame, like legadol beitzim, or when you create it specifically for Shabbos with an Isser, that's permanent. That's in the very shame of the thing. And anything that comes from it is going to be, that's permanent. But if it's just me'elov, that the Isser is what's mafkiyat from your tashmish, but the shame adavar is not a shame of muktza, the cheftza is not definitively a muktza, because this inability could fall off. This restriction is not a permanent restriction. So then, as long as the isser is there, It's like an extended, you know, as I said, like this. According to the second idea of muktzah, he's saying the muktzah is really like an extension of the isser in the tashrish. According to one, there could be a muktzah that's coming from two sources, either because the cheftza as an object is mufka from Shabbos, or it's an extension of the isser in the object. Not only can you not do the thing that the isser per se, but all functions of the object are removed because of the isser itself. But when the isser is gone, there's no more muktzah. There's no more muktzah. So that's how he resolves the problem, and that's really what the Ramban, what the Ran is against. You understand? The Ran is against that idea. He does not want to say that. He does not want to answer this question by saying that the muktzas are different. That's what he does not want to say. You understand? He knows this choice. He knows the problem. The problem is, how do you differentiate between the muktzah, between the egg being muktzah on Beis Amud Aleph, on Yontif, when it's the Gadol Beitzim, and the egg not being muktzah on Beis Amud Beis if it was Shabbos? Right? So the Ramban's answer is, different muktzahs work differently. Some muktzahs are permanent, and are koveya, Hashem, and the Cheftza, Bein HaShmashos, that's kavua the entire day, and some muktzahs are temporary and situational. And it doesn't matter what it was, Bein HaShmashos. You understand? It doesn't matter what it was, Bein HaShmashos. The Ran is against that. It says muktzah should have the same definition across the board. Whether it's machmas isser, machmas mias, machmas mitzvah, whatever it's going to be, it should always be the same. So, therefore, that's why when he comes down with his answer, he says, it comes out now from my answer that we don't make any chilukim in muktzah. You understand? That's what he's referring to. We don't make any chilukim in muktzah to say that some muktzah is permanent and some muktzah changes during Bein HaShmashos. That's his conclusion. He knows that choice that the Ramban made. And he's saying, I reject that choice. All muktzah is the same. So now, according to me, there's no such thing as a variation of degree in muktzah. Right? But what is his answer? That's where we're beating around. That's where we're running around. But it's important. I mean, we're laying a lot of basics down, and even how to think about the muktzah. You know, that's sometimes the hardest thing about starting a sugya is just how to think about the thing. But according to the Ran, I'm going to tell you my idea in the Ran. Probably not going to like it, but I'm going to tell you my idea in the Ran. What I want to say in the Ran is like this. The Ran is different than the Ramban, right? Because the Ran has a new idea of nolad, right? The Ran holds that there could be such a thing that I can sit and think about it all day long, and I know it's coming, but yet it's memela nolad, and baal korchach it's muktzah, right? And not because of where it came from. Not because it carries the muktzah of the mother with it. You understand? This chilek has to be crystal clear in your mind. Right? The Ramban is always going that the egg is simply carrying the muktzah that it came from. Right? It's not muktzah because it's a nolad. There's no concept like that. By an egg. It's obviously the egg is something you know is coming. But the Ran is saying, even though I know for sure the egg is coming and I'm waiting for it, and every morning I go down and I take the egg and I eat the eggs, right? Can't say I'm surprised if there's an egg in there. It's going to be muktzah. Why? Why? Mayor? No.
The Ramban.
I'm on to the Ran now. Why? Because it's a new existence. It's a new existence. And it was not capable of receiving a hachana. Right? It was not capable of receiving a preparation, a chalos shame of muchan on it. Because it wasn't there. Okay. But the Ran goes through and explains like this. when do we say this is true? When the mother was legadol beitzim. If the mother was legadol beitzim, she was not food. And coming from her now is what? Voila, food. That, he says, is a davar chadash and a nolad. It's a nolad gomer. But, he says, if the chicken was for food, or the goat was for food, then what? Then, just because there's an isser to shecht it on Shabbos, right? That has nothing to do with Torah's ochel. It still is an ochel, right? And the isser is just like a crouching lion, right? Therefore, what? The egg was never usser at all. And the milk was never usser at all, right? The milk was never usser at all. The egg was never usser at all. And what about the fact that it's coming from the mother and the A's that were usser, right? So this is the point, that this is a slight point of contention between me and some other people here. I'm saying that what the Ron is saying is that if the mother was food, then you can view the egg and the milk as separate entities. That are muchan and not even part of the isser in the aim at all. But the question is how? If he holds like the Balamor, then they should always be like a separate entity. Right? And if he holds like the Ramban, it should always be part of the aim. How is it that when the chicken is legadol beitzim, then I consider the egg like a totally new thing when it comes out? But if the chicken is la'achila, then I can say, well, we can talk about the chicken and the egg like separate things.
So it was never new.
So it was never new for sure. And it wasn't even under the isra of the aim. It never even was part of the isra of the aim.
Well, it's never part of the isra of the aim.
But why? Like the Ramban says it is. Right? The Ramban says clearly it's part of the isra of the aim. Because it was part of the guf of the aim. Okay, so let me just give you an outline of what I want to say. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure. I want to say it like this. I want to put forth a certain proposition like this. That we view the egg and the milk. The egg and the milk are components of the aim. Okay? They're components of the aim. And the components of the aim. Even if the mother is not la'achila, the milk and the egg are la'achila. Okay. So why can't I talk about them? Why can't I talk about them separately? Because they don't have a separate existence. Okay, they don't have a separate existence. Now, what I want to, so what about when the aim is l'achila? They also don't have a separate existence, right? But what I want to say is like this, is that if I have two things existing, right? One's contained within the other. So if the main cheftza and the sub-cheftza have different shemos, different identities, then I cannot regard the contained entity as existent now. Why? Because there's no presence to its existence. It's not physically separate. And its shame achila that it has is not expressed at all. It's completely mechusa. Just humor me along for a few minutes. Okay? It's completely mechusa. It's not physically present, and it's not even functionally present in any way. So I cannot regard it as a present existence. I only regard it purely as like a latent existence. But if the aim is an achila, if the aim is an ochel, then I can consider it existent as part of the achila. Now its shem achila is really part of a present achila. So via the ochel, via the fact that the mother is present, and the mother is an ochel, and it joins in a general sense with the shame of the aim, I can now regard it as present. I can now regard it as an existence. Because it does exist in some form. Presently. Why? Because I look at the aim and I say, this chefza is a food. And you know what? There are a lot of parts of this food. One of them is going to be the egg and the milk. You understand? What the problem with the Ran is that you cannot regard something that has no expression to its existence as a separate entity. So when the egg or the milk is contained in a chefza that's different from itself. So now, when it emerges, it's a total nolad. It's a total nolad. Because this cheftza, as an ochel, had no existence. The cheftza wasn't there separate beforehand. And it didn't partake of any mefurash shem achila. But if the egg and the milk exist within an ochel, so now I can say, present in the world was an ochel that this was a part of. So its shem achila is nigreres after the shem achila in the aim. So I can say that its shem achila is something that it as an ochel existed beforehand as a part of the mother. So what I'm trying to say is like this, that lemaisa comes out according to the Ran. Is the egg or the milk, can I call the egg and the milk as a distinct present chefza that's shayach to be differentiated from the mother or not? That's going to depend on whether it's existing within the mother as an ochel or the mother as a shame that's connected. If the mother's shame is connected, then it has no presence. Because as an ochel, there is no ochel in front of me. There's no food in front of me. Because the mother's not a food and the milk is not here. But if the mother is an ochel, so then bichlal, my having the mother as an ochel in front of me, is the milk as an ochel. You don't need it separate. You don't need it to be a separate existence anymore. I'm trying to say is you need some expression of the davar in order. It needs some expression now in order to be able to be, in order for it to be regarded as present. If it's physically not present, it has to be that its shame is present. But its shame is only going to be present through the mother. If the mother is not an ochel, then it's not an ochel. Let's give you an example. If let's say I have earth, right? And 10 miles below the earth is coal, right? So how much coal do you have present? Mars?
Nothing.
right? Nothing. I don't have any coal present, right? But let's say I have a load of coal that goes 10 miles deep. How much coal do I have present? 10 miles of coal. Right, but the coal that's 10 miles down is just as covered as the other one. Yeah, but it's expressed through a contiguous expression of the same shame all the way up. So when you have a thing that's mechusa, if it's mechusa by another davar, then it's considered not here. But if it's mechusa by a same shame, then I can consider the depth of it. So when I have the mother as an ochel, I say, how much ochel is there? The ochel, the shame ochel penetrates all the way to the egg. So that's part of the presence of the part of the presence of my shem ochel will be the egg as well. But if the aim is not ochel, so all I can say is I have a hidden thing. I could say I don't have ochel now, but were I to do something, I could get it. But if the mother is ochel, then the beitza is just part of the sheer ochel of the mother. But as long as the ikar is present, now I can differentiate. I can deal with it. Yeah, I'm putting that forth as a logical proposition.
But at the same time, like the you can compare the chicken and the egg as being two akilas, but what about the coal and the aretz? It's not necessarily how you compare it.
Oh, so I'm saying you're right. It's not exactly the same because I'm saying the coal is like the if you have coal all the way down, that's like the chicken and the egg, right? If you have aretz and coal, that's like when the chicken is not for achila and the egg is. So I don't say I have any food present. Just like if I had 10 miles of earth on top of the coal, I wouldn't say I have coal here. I say I have the ability to get some. But if the 10 miles below extends all the way up, then I'd say that as long as there is a portion of it present, I can say the whole thing is present. So the egg is like a portion of the achila of the aim. As long as the egg is a portion of the achila sa'aim, so I can say the aim is present, and I can define via that, I can deal with the egg via that. So then I can say, okay, now I have two, like Aaron's saying, I have two portions of achila. Right? So I can say the isser is going to be chal on one portion and not on the other. But I have to have some way to make it present. But if the aim is not la'achila, then I can't make it present at all. And then when it emerges, now is its beginning of life as a food. I think it's good, but let's think about it.